Synagogue Church of Jesus Christ presents Revival with your host evangelist, Pastor Johnny O, teaching and preaching God's holy word. Now let's learn God's holy word on Revival.
Now we're living in times that time has run out. Are you ready? Kaleidoscope, part one. God gave me that name because it is in reference to what is about to happen. The unveiling of light, which will unlock the imprisoned monsters of the abyss. And the destroyer will be released, and a full-scale invasion will be unleashed on earth with great deception, that even the elect shall be deceived. Are you ready for this? I'm not going to talk about this too much because I want to take this opportunity to thank every single internet and any and all radio stations broadcasting the Kaleidoscope, a series that will blow your mind. And this is beyond me now. I have shared this revelation with many leaders that if anything was to happen to me, it will continue and reveal the truth of Jesus Christ being the Messiah, for the Jew first, then the Gentile. I'm going to read Revelation chapter 9. Then we're going to go right into a most spectacular kaleidoscope of information that will release an enlightenment, a transformation of your being to the living God's understanding that you belong to Him because He bought you at a price. The blood of Jesus Christ purchased you at the cross. Don't believe any other type of Jesus Christ's that come with any other alien creatures or anything that comes from under the ground, beneath the sea, or in the heavens. Because if he doesn't exalt his Father, Yahweh, Jehovah, Adonai, then he is an antichrist, a false demon. And being that there are religious individuals on the earth today falsifying Christ, like in the Quran and all these other hadith and all these other false religions in New Age that talk about a Jesus that doesn't exist, a Jesus that murders, a Jesus that is a liar, a destroyer, don't believe it. For Christ did not come from the desert or from faraway lands, but you'll see him come from the east, coming in the clouds of glory, and you'll see it. There'll be no mistake about Jesus Christ. Let's learn. Kaleidoscope Part 1. You ready? Because this one's for real. I'm Pastor Evangelist Johnny O.
And the fifth angel blew his trumpet, and I saw a star fallen from heaven to earth. And he was given the key to the shaft of the bottomless pit. He opened the shaft of the bottomless pit, and from the shaft rose smoke, like the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened with the smoke from the shaft. Then from the smoke came locusts on the earth, and they were given power like the power of scorpions of the earth. They were told not to harm the grass of the earth or any green plant or any tree, but only those people who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. They were allowed to torment them for 5 months, but not to kill them. And their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it stings someone. And in those days people will seek death and will not find it. They will long to die, but death will flee from them. They have as king over them the angel of the bottomless pit. His name in Hebrew is Abaddon, and in Greek he is called Apollyon. The first woe has passed. Behold, two woes are still to come.
Let's take this opportunity right now and learn what is CERN all about.
Below this field is one of the most complicated machines ever built. A real-life time machine. Buried hundreds of meters beneath the French-Swiss border, this machine will shoot beams of energy around a 27-kilometer-long loop and smash those beams of energy together again at the end. This giant loop is the track for the world's newest particle accelerator, the Large Hadron Collider, or LHC. It's designed to peer into the origins of the universe and is the brainchild of 6,000 of the world's top scientific minds. Jeff Taylor is the head of physics at Melbourne University, but here in Switzerland, he's a key contributor to the LHC project.
As we come into this new era with the Large Hadron Collider, we are going to be discovering aspects of nature which we couldn't have dreamed of in the past. This is really the most exciting period for physicists, for scientists, since the beginning of the 20th century.
It's been a long time coming. We have constructed this for many, many years, and to suddenly go into this phase where really everything starts to come together and starts to click into each other and to really work as a whole is immensely exciting.
ATLAS is the name of the giant detector at the heart of the project. It's being built underground in a 6-story deep construction pit filled with the world's biggest magnets, layered by 3,000 kilometers of wiring, and all weighing 7,000 tons. All of this so that protons, the heaviest part of the atom, can be smashed at near the speed of light inside the machine, creating conditions that haven't existed since a trillionth of a second after the birth of the universe.
It is a machine which operates at a temperature of 1.9 degrees Kelvin.
Which in Celsius terms?
Which is minus 271 degrees.
The collider lives at the CERN laboratory outside of Geneva. CERN buzzes. It requires its own relay station to power the collider, and above that you'll catch the intellectual hum of the world's best scientists.
At the CERN cafeteria, sometimes there are 5 Nobel Prize winners eating with students and postdocs and other staff members. It's a very, very rich environment. And it's a very testing environment. The students work very, very hard, but it's very inspiring.
At the cafeteria, I meet the head of the ATLAS project. Peter Jenny tells me that when the machine gets turned on early next year, anything could happen.
We have pretty exciting ideas from theory what could happen, but the most exciting for an experimentalist would be that actually something which nobody has foreseen could be discovered. It's really going into a new land in a way. Sometimes people say it's like when people explored new territories. Columbus did find something exciting, not India, but something else, and maybe something like that may happen.
Scientists in Switzerland are attempting to disprove everything we think we know about, well, everything. Researchers with the European Organization for Nuclear Research, or CERN, are in the process of restarting the world's biggest particle accelerator, known as the Large Hadron Collider. The restart comes after 2 years after the machine discovered the Higgs boson, or God particle, which is believed to be the key to how particles get their mass. But now scientists want to use the machine to disprove the Big Bang theory of the universe by discovering miniature black holes, which would in turn reveal parallel universes. And it only gets weirder from there. See, according to the scientist, If these black holes are detected at a particular energy, it would prove an alternate existence theory, or known as rainbow gravity, which posits that the universe stretches back in time infinitely with no origin point like the Big Bang. No word yet on whether Doctor Who will be available when scientists actually rip a hole in the space-time continuum. But we can hope.
Man, I mean, it plays right into kind of a little what you were talking about before we even hit that. That is, I mean, the Hadron Collider is something that, like, I know a lot of people are scared of. There was, like, an Onion article that a, you know, time traveler came back and warned us about it. But, you know, I'm curious to hear your thoughts on the Hadron Collider, John. Like, where do you sit on this thing? Is it dangerous? What do you think?
You know, I mean, as Tabitha pointed out, like, the question obviously is, are these guys up to some nefarious, you know, plan to create a mini black hole? And if that then, you know, gets out of control, then does it gobble up, you know, the entire planet as a result? You know, I'm not particularly concerned about that. I do actually have faith that they're, you know, they have a certain understanding of what they're trying to achieve. And I think, as I said before, the point is that we're really just at the basis of understanding our reality and our existence here. So the more that we can to endeavor using things like the Hadron Collider, you know, the more exciting I think our future will be. You know, the more exciting I think our future will be. You know, the more exciting I think our future will be.
Enoch was the son of Jared, father of Methuselah, and great-grandfather of Noah, whose writings provide the most detailed account of the fall of the Watchers, the angels who fathered the infamous Nephilim. While the Book of Enoch is no longer included in most versions of the Bible, Enoch's writings are quoted in the New Testament in at least two places, and he is mentioned by name in both the Old and New Testaments, including Jude 14 through 15, where one of his prophecies is cited. If Enoch was truly a prophet, then the world may be in for an unfathomable surprise concerning the return of the Nephilim, and soon. The 10th chapter of the Book of Enoch says the watchers who were judged during the flood would be bound beneath the hills of the earth for 70 generations. For 70 generations. Until the day of their final judgment, when they will be released from those confines and thrown into an abyss of fire, to the torment and the prison in which they shall be confined forever.
I suspect that at a very high level of governments, that we are already being visited by beings from the other side who are funding this kind of research for us to develop something that they need. To open up a portal. In the book of the Revelation of John, it does speak about a messenger from the upper levels coming down to earth and opening up a doorway to the bottomless pit down inside the earth to let things out. So maybe this is research being done to develop the technology we need here to do such a thing. I don't know. I mean, it's just a wild guess.
Right. And it's interesting, I think, that, you know, it seemed like even in the Old Testament, whenever there are mentions of high places and things like that, it required, at least for the fallen entities, required some sort of sacrifice or some sort of ritual for these fallen entities to come through. It seems like God's angels are freely able to, traverse as they will, but the fallen entities require some sort of legalistic key, if you will, you know, to for us to allow them in, so to speak. So perhaps this is just a large human project to create the biggest doorways to the fallen entities to come through. I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah. I mean, I think we're going to see some rather astounding events in the next 12 to 24 months because other factors in biblical prophecy seem to be coming to play later this year. And that would then require the presence of this fake alien landing invasion or whatever. But to do that, there are going to have to be a lot of them appear. And I'm wondering if God himself isn't going to open up one of these portals to cast Satan and his minions out of his universe down into ours for the final battle. At that time, of course, these beings will appear all over the place, and I think technology for them to fly around, saucers, and that kind of stuff, have been developed already since 1952 or so, when we started sharing bases, underground bases, with these fallen ones, quote-unquote grays and aliens. But I think this has been prepared for the time when the gateway opens and these beings are pushed out of their level to ours, so that they have infrastructure to build and use weapons against Jesus when he returns. Anyway, that's just kind of my thought on it.
But in the 15th chapter, Enoch writes about the deceased offspring of the Watchers, the Giants, or Nephilim, and describes them as being released at the same time to bring slaughter and destruction upon man. Quote, "The spirits of the Giants shall be concealed, and shall not rise up against the sons of men and against women until they come forth during the days of slaughter and destruction." Unquote. Enoch 15, 9-10. This particular prophecy mirrors those of Isaiah and other apocryphal works, which indicate a future date in which watchers will rise for judgment while their giant offspring resurrect, quote, "from beneath the hills of the earth," unquote, to wreak havoc upon the earth.
And the fifth angel blew his trumpet, and I saw a star fallen from heaven to earth, and he was given the key to the shaft of the bottomless pit. He opened the shaft of the bottomless pit, and from the shaft rose smoke, like the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened with the smoke from the shaft. Then from the smoke came locusts on the earth, and they were given power like the power of scorpions of the earth. They were told not to harm the grass of the earth or any green plant or any tree, but only those people who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. They were allowed to torment them for 5 months, but not to kill them. And their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it stings someone. And in those days people will seek death and will not find it. They will long to die, but death will flee from them. They have as king over them the angel of the bottomless pit. His name in Hebrew is Abaddon, and in Greek he is called Apollyon. The first woe has passed. Behold, two woes are still to come.
So much. Tell us quickly.
This is about what's happening on top of a mountain in Mount Graham that might be connected to CERN that we'll talk about in the next program.
Really?
Mm-hmm. But these are some heavyweight people that believe this.
And this goes along with the observatory that you went to.
Right. Well,
that the Catholic Church owns the... The average person has no idea the Catholic Church owns the biggest observatory in the world, probably.
Well, they are part of an observation group. Who owns the observatory on the Mount Graham is the Vatican, it's NASA, it's Arizona State University, it's astronomy groups all around the world. But it was the Vatican that got with NASA to go up, and they literally forced themselves onto the... They had to do an in-run around environmental law to allow them to even build on that mountain. So somebody at the Vatican was deeply in the back pocket of the governor, because they bent rules that can't otherwise be bent to build on the top of that mountain. But after we came down, that's why there's a third book on this. Well, I guess I'll have to come back at some time, maybe.
Yes.
We'll talk about that.
Yeah.
The third book is called On the Path of the Immortals. Want to know why?
Why?
Because when we came down off the mountain, we thought we knew everything. Brother, we're patting ourselves on the back. We're King Kong and Godzilla all rolled into one. We got to go where no man has gone before. And then we get contacted by the Apache Nation. And one of them wants to let us know what we think we know about Mount Graham is only a very small part of the puzzle. In their belief system, Mount Graham is a gateway. It's a portal to another dimension. And that's why the Vatican wanted on the top of that mountain. And that's what they're observing in deep space. And Malachi Martin, remember in 1979, Art Bell's interviewing Father Malachi Martin, an insider from the Vatican. And he says, "Father, why did the Vatican force its way onto a mountain in Arizona, and why are they studying deep space?" You know what his answer was? He said, "Because at the highest levels of the Vatican government, they know what is approaching the earth, and that it will be of the utmost importance in coming years. And furthermore, he put a 10-year timeline on it, and 10 years to the day, the Vatican called together an astronomy study week at the Pontifical Academy in Rome, the Pope's scientists, right? And they came together for one reason, to study the detection of alien life and its impact on religion and society. And 90 days later, when the oldest scientific body in the world, the Royal Society, came together, they came together for exactly the same reason, the detection of alien intelligence and the impact on society. These are the brainiest people in the world. They came together right when Father Martin said this would become of importance. So something right now is sitting there. Something is sitting there. They think they have knowledge. In fact, the Lucifer device that they use on the top of Mount Graham.
That's what they call it.
Yeah. Is infrared.
Why would they name it Lucifer? That's pretty strange.
Yeah. Yeah, why would they? Is it because they think they titled it something they're using it to observe? Do they think they know something is coming?
This year, 2015, this is an epic day today. We're at the equinox. We're halfway through this year. What do you think from all these prophecies you've studied, or the prophecy of the Pope, will take place this year, perhaps in 2015? Just to go through it again, just what should we look to see now? So people, you know, I'm supposed to be a teacher, but that's why I repeat everything all the time, because I want people to learn. But could you give us a few things? Could you give us a few things? Could you give us a few things?
According to Enoch, this unparalleled event is scheduled to occur after 70 generations have passed from the time of the flood. This could be troubling. And reveal to him the end that is approaching, that the whole earth will be destroyed, and a deluge is about to come upon the whole earth, and will destroy all that is on it. And now instruct him that he may escape and his seed may be preserved for all the generations of the world. And now instruct him that he may escape and his seed may be preserved, that he may escape and his seed may be preserved for all the generations of the world. And again the Lord said to Raphael, bind Azazel hand and foot, and cast him into the darkness, and make an opening in the desert, which is in Dudael, and cast him therein. And place upon him rough and jagged rocks, and cover him with darkness, and let him abide there forever, and cover his face that he may not see light. And on the day of the great judgment he shall be cast into the fire, and heal the earth which the angels have corrupted, and proclaim the healing of the earth, that they may heal the plague, and that all the children of men may not perish through all the secret things that the watchers have disclosed and have taught their sons. And the whole earth has been corrupted through the works that were taught by Azazel. To him ascribe all sin. And to Gabriel said the Lord, proceed against the bastards and the reprobates, and against the children of fornication, and destroy the children of fornication and the children of the watchers from amongst men.
Right. It's so interesting. And I know, you know, when we had you on an early episode of Canary Cry Radio, you told your stories of experiences of things you've seen and things you've encountered. And that stuff's fascinating. And I'll point people to those interviews in the links. But how do you think the whole, I guess, the alien invasion or the staged invasion, how could that play out? I mean, it seems to me that the Obama or whoever, you know, Hillary or whoever this president's going to be announcing alien presence is not going to be enough to really convince the whole world. It seems like there has to be more of a manifestation, in my opinion. But what are your thoughts on how that might look?
Yeah, I'm sure that this will happen. I think the release of their presence will be such that the people of the earth will say, ah, they're here, and the governments were lying. In essence, it won't be trusting a government release of the thing. It will be so obvious. they'll be in the skies, you know, like in the movie V, or in 4th of July, you know. The
movie he was referring to is Independence Day.
The beings and their craft, big ones, will be over major cities or locations that will be on TV worldwide, and people will go, oh, they're here, you know. Are they friendly? Now, I think that this will have to come at the height of a global threat so real that people will say to anyone, help us avoid this or we're going to be extinct, you know, the human race.
Could that event be the rapture of the church? Rosh Hashanah is the Feast of Trumpets, which also means the Messiah's wedding. Also, it's referred to as the last trump. And the scriptures are very clear that we will leave. The dead in Christ will rise first, and then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up with them in the clouds and to be with the Lord forever. Amen. Comfort each other with these words. Could the rapture happen on Rosh Hashanah, which is a two-day event? Rosh Hashanah is a two-day, 48-hour event. No one knows the day nor the hour, but it is so symbolic to a Hebrew wedding that only the father would know, and the son would go and get that mansion ready and then want to eagerly go get his bride. But he turns to the father and says, Father, check out the house and how I got everything done. And he says, no, you're not ready yet. Only the father would know, not the angels, not Jesus, no one, but the father. He knows the time. But the feast of the Lord, it's called the feast of the Lord, not the feast of the Jews. It's the feast of the Lord, Rosh Hashanah. Could that be the time of the rapture and chaos on the earth? And that's when the watchers, these demons, return? Could that be the possibility? Could that be the possibility? Could it be the possibility?
I was in prayer during the night, and I got the vision of this Abaddon, and it was horrific. Then in the morning, that morning, I got the actual prophecy. I was hearing it, parts of it, for a few days. Prepare for the day of Abaddon. He shall rise from beneath the earth. Smoke shall ascend to the heavens. He shall be accompanied by his army of demons. He will have power to cause much pain and suffering, but not the power of death. He shall make men flee in horror, and they will not escape this torment and pain. And they will not escape this torment and pain.
They have as king over them the angel of the bottomless pit. His name in Hebrew is Abaddon, and in Greek he is called Apollyon. And the fifth angel blew his trumpet, and I saw a star fallen from heaven to earth. And he was given the key to the shaft of the bottomless pit. He opened the shaft of the bottomless pit, and from the shaft rose smoke, like the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened with the smoke from the shaft. Then from the smoke came locusts on the earth, and they were given power like the power of scorpions of the earth. They were told not to harm the grass of the earth or any green plant or any tree, but only those people who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. They were allowed to torment them for 5 months, but not to kill them. And their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it stings someone. And in those days people will seek death and will not find it. They will long to die, but death will flee from them. They have as king over them the angel of the bottomless pit. His name in Hebrew is Abaddon, and in Greek he is called Apollyon. The first woe has passed. Behold, two woes are still to come.
And they will not escape this torment and pain. The army and its king of the locusts shall remain among the unrepentant for 5 months. Turn from your evil ways, you men of the earth. I am a just God and a forgiving God. Return to me and escape the wrath to come. All those that seek me with a repentant heart will enter in. Come as time moves quickly and the days grow shorter.
The dream was about Abaddon. It was made clear to me in the dream that what I was seeing was related to this particular video that she made. In the dream, I saw total chaos taking place here in West Arkansas. And also, it was made known in the dream that this would be taking place all across the world as well. What I mean by total chaos, there was rioting going on, looting. The police, in particular, were overwhelmed and they could not handle what was going on. I saw policemen getting shot, people getting shot. There was just complete chaos everywhere. And again, it was made known to me in this dream that this was directly related to Abaddon, Apollon. Well, who is Abaddon or Apollon? Abaddon, literally meaning destruction, ruin, or perdition, is the Hebrew name of the demon identified as the angel of the bottomless pit or the abyss in Revelations 9:11, who ties up the devil for a millennium, 1,000 years, also known as the destroyer, from his role as one of the destroying angels of the apocalypse in Job 26:6 and in Proverbs 15:11. The word Abaddon arises in conjunction with Sheol. He is further identified as the devil himself in the 3rd century Acts of Thomas. Now, Abaddon, or Apollon, is the chief of the demons of the 7th hierarchy, the king of the grasshoppers, or the demon of locusts. These demons should emerge, or would emerge, with the sounding of the 5th trumpet in heaven. It describes the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots running to battle.
I remember a dream. I'd like to share two of them. Number one, dream was I was playing in a club singing Fantasy Girl on the stage. The club was not so packed. It was halfway packed. People were having a good time. Then I saw the people run to the front door of the club. We looked outside the club. It wasn't dark. It was still light outside. That was kind of weird. But there was light outside. I looked at the clouds, and I looked at everybody's face, and they were looking up into heaven. Every single one was looking into the sky. I looked at the clouds, and the clouds started dancing, literally going back and forth in a shimmy movement, like from left to right, up and down, you know, quick movements, like something skipping on the water real fast. And then all of a sudden, out of the clouds came these huge 1 mile gigantic ships that looked like domes coming straight down, and they made a sound like a boom like that. I remember in the dream, and the only thing I can remember in the dream was me saying at the front entrance of the club, "Oh my God, they're here." It was like an alleyway, definitely was building, so it had to be some kind of metropolitan city, Chicago, New York, Boston, you know, even Miami, if you can go as far as that, but I don't think it's that, but New York mostly. I looked up into the sky in between buildings, and all of a sudden it looked like a swirl of clouds, okay, dark clouds, of course, literally like if the sky opened up, like if it was a dimensional portal, and I'm using it, I know this whole show is about that, but that was the dream. Out of the dream, out of the dimensional portal, these ships, man, they were flying out of there like if you were shaking some kind of soda bottle and just let it go and it exploded. They were coming out, boom, one, two, one, one. I started running for my life, and they were going everywhere. Literally, they were like locusts, like hundreds of them, hundreds, dozens first, then hundreds. It was spectacular, but it was kind of frightening at the same time, because I knew that this was not angelic. I don't know how I can tell, but it was not angelic. I knew it was demonic, and it was like, oh my God, I was running. It was just overwhelming, the dream. And these are the two dreams that I did have in my lifetime that I will never, ever, ever forget. Let's get back to the show.
Guys, I'm not trying to say I'm a prophet. I'm not even saying that I was showed a vision. This dream was very vivid. And again, the only way I can describe this is I was instructed in this dream to let everyone know watching this video that this video that God's Healer 7 made yesterday on released yesterday on February 24th, 2014 is related to my dream and that this would be part of what would be going on when this demon and his buddies are released out of the bottomless pit.
The LHC is being fired up and is expected to begin generating particle collisions any day now. Are they going to achieve their goal? If so, it looks to us like they will be fulfilling prophecy on the exact schedule foretold in the Bible, a schedule and outcome they themselves are signaling. CERN recently presented two films to celebrate the refiring of the LHC called Symmetry and Symmetry Unraveled. A time code has been embedded in the Symmetry trailer that testifies to the reason for the LHC. There's a ringing sound and a particle beam collision at 1 minute 13 seconds that speaks to me of the 13th day of the first month on the Lord's calendar. That's the day when biblical models illustrate the emergence of the Antichrist beast, and that's when the LHC is probably going to begin colliding protons at high energy.
So in layman's terms, what he's mentioning is the first month of the Hebrew calendar, which will be in the midst of September, because the last day of the year would be the 13th of September. Notice the number he mentioned was 13. So the Shemitah is predicted to be the judgment on Elul 29, 57, 75. That would be September 13, 2015. Isn't that coincidental that on September 13, they are going to be slamming these particles together? And could that be the day or the beginning of the unlocking of the dimensions and what the Bible says, the unlocking of the bottomless pit and Abaddon and Apollyon, the destroyer, coming with his demons? Could be a possibility. Back to the show.
In the trailer, subsequent to that ringing collision, we see beings that had been trapped in another dimension emerge through a time-space portal. We'll soon see if it's coincidental that their production mirrors the biblical prophecy. It seems very unlikely. I've been blogging about how control over time itself is going to be wielded for a week or so by the ancient dragon, and that's what the trailer seems to demonstrate in the way the entire Passover season is embedded in the time code, with even an accounting of the preparation for Passover that accounts for a preliminary hoax scenario. I'm also going to be comparing the key scene of this trailer to one from another film, The Penitent Man, to demonstrate the match. Just because we're not being told directly what's really going on doesn't mean we're not being told. This is a big deal because your life will never be the same. The world will never be the same. And what you do about it will matter for a very long time. The sequence of scenes I showed from the trailer presents a looping in time, repeating the opening of the Stargate to illustrate it from various perspectives. The brief segment shown begins with the dance in the magic circle of salt, which is itself a manifestation of theurgy, and what's dramatized is representative of multiplied thousands of ritual sacrifices and evocation rituals over many centuries. Then there's a particle collision with scattered particles, as would be recorded in one experiment's sensor array. Then circular collision imagery from what looks like another array's perspective. And then we see trapped entities and their emergence as splintering, symmetry achieved.
Well, there's so much. First of all, the fifth trumpet.
Yes,
and
Carl
the
Gallup.
Sixth trumpet, Carl Gallup.
Yeah.
That you had on the show this week?
Yes.
Think about what he is talking about, where the Islamic nation has centered around the great Euphrates River. Mm-hmm. The way that river runs from Turkey down through Syria, Iraq, it's literally their stomping grounds. And yet read what the Bible says is going to happen there when the trumpet sounds and these powerful angels mm-hmm. come up out of the ground. Mm-hmm. See, they're expecting the Mahdi to come out of the ground. Mm-hmm. I think something is going to come out of the ground. They're going to come up out, and it says they're going to wipe out one third mm-hmm. of humanity, these powerful angels. Mm-hmm. We are literally marching right now on top of the very area that the Bible tells us the angels that have been bound in the great river Euphrates, preserved for this hour, are going to come out, and one third of humanity is going to be wiped out.
Wow.
The 10th chapter of the Book of Enoch says the watchers who were judged during the flood would be bound beneath the hills of the earth for 70 generations. For 70 generations. The Lord said to Michael, "Go bind Tsimshaza and his associates who have united themselves with women so as to have defiled themselves with them in all their uncleanness. And when their sons have slain one another, and they have seen the destruction of their beloved ones, bind them fast for 70 generations in the valleys of the earth, till the day of their judgment and of their consummation, till the judgment that is forever and ever is consummated."
Listen, it's not just one experiment they're about to perform. This thing is going to run 6 months continuously, colliding protons near the speed of light to analyze particles, exotic particles that are made at the beginning of the Big Bang. That's why they call it the Big Bang machine. It's the only way to observe these particles, which wink in and out of existence a fraction of time. They found the force that holds the dark energy or the dark matter away from this realm. They call it the wall. There's another name for that. A name of which that those particles they're going to find, they found part of it. They're going to find the other pieces that are in that wall. And when they find the other pieces to this wall, they will then be able to undo that wall. There's another name for that wall. The veil. Call it the veil. It holds back that realm. They found out what's holding back the dark energy from, because it would be absolutely destructive if the two met. But they found out, now with this as a weapon, there is no counter weapon to this.
Think about this. They know that they could be opening or parting the veil. God has sealed this small percentage of the universe as we see it and know it to protect us from what's out there. Again, you're looking at a Passover that will surpass anything ever known to man, even the first Passover in Egypt. And they were saved then because of the blood of the Lamb.
This is the biggest machine in the world.
There's a reason God put them on the other side of that veil, and you might not want to open the door.
Oh.
And here's the thing. Okay. Their own director of CERN has gave interviews to the British press in which he admits that's what they're trying to do. They want to open a door to another dimension. And he said, when we open this door, he said, something might come through it into our reality. Or, he said, we might send something through it into their reality. You can look that up. It's in the British press. Where the CERN was built, this is St. Genis Poeli. That's the name of the township. But in ancient days, guess what it was called? It was called Apollyacum. It was literally a temple to the god Apollo, because they believe that's the gateway to the underworld. Shiva, the Hindu god of destruction that destroys at the molecular level, is right out in front of the offices of CERN, and it's dedicated to Shiva. It's named after Apollyacum, the gateway to the god Apollo. But what does the Book of Revelation say? Yeah, absolutely, that an angel comes down with a key to the bottomless pit and opens that gateway. And guess who is the god down in there? The king over the bottomless pit, Apollyon, Abaddon, the king of the bottomless pit. And we're trying right there to open a gateway.
You're smart, lady. They're trying to open the door, the gate to hell.
Right.
God literally sealed and locked demons into the earth that would not be released until the last days. Mm-hmm. And now we have evidence that man is the one that's trying to open the door and release them.
Listen, it's not just one experiment they're about to perform. This thing is going to run 6 months continuously.
I think we're going to see some rather astounding events in the next 12 to 24 months. Because other factors in biblical prophecy seem to be coming to play later this year. And that would then require the presence of this fake alien landing invasion or whatever.
As the underworld has been bridged to this realm, control over the flow of time-space has been established, for a limited season. I'm going to compare a key scene from the Symmetry trailer with one from The Penitent Man now, a movie about time travel that I blogged about at length last year. What you're going to see in this demonstration is how a glass of water is used to illustrate a particle collision. A man bangs with his fist to cause the wave rings to appear. A little later, I'll play it in context, and you'll hear the man tell us that the water represents time, and that the ripples are ripples in time. He's been explaining about how to open a time-space portal for travel through time. Here it is again. His fist pounding represents the percussion of a particle beam collision in CERN's LHC. The penitent man doesn't tell us that directly, or that the time machine being discussed is the LHC, but they dance all over it with expressive language of visual symbols and neuro-linguistic programming, the subtle dropping of verbal hints. What CERN is cleverly not telling us in their opera and dance film trailer is what they are dancing all over with occult symbolism and NLP. They're opening the door to let someone in with the breaching of time-space domains. The LHC is a machine that's intended to open a wormhole through time-space so Apollo can emerge, and that's what the Symmetry trailer confirms to us. In familiar occult fashion, it conceals and reveals that it will happen through the pairing of science and magic. CERN is all about facilitating and celebrating the arrival of the Antichrist beast. Spare no expense. There's no attempt by CERN to hide the connection between the particle collider and Shiva, the Lord of the Dance. It's a form of the dance of the Nataraja that is performed by the dancers in Symmetry. A large idol of the Lord of the Dance is displayed prominently at the facility. Shiva is the destroyer of worlds. In Revelation 9, the angel with the key to the abyss is Apollyon, the destroyer, Abaddon. The pedestal of the idol at CERN is a lotus, which is understood by illumined occultists to represent the emergence of Horus, who is also known as Apollo or Shiva. The facility is actually located right where Apollo was openly worshipped long ago, in the town of Apollyakum. I already decoded the fundamentals of the Symmetry trailer in this post to the Open Scroll blog titled CERN's Lord of the Dance, CERN's Lord of the Dance, CERN's Lord of the Dance, so you can reference that for more info, especially about the cosmology of Shiva. The opera and dance production is titled Symmetry, and that involves a matching of the atomic physics with the ritual magic of theurgy. The Symmetry describes the exploitation of physical laws to manipulate the spiritual realm. The Hermetic Maxim is an expression of this symmetry. As above, so below.
And where did you hear that reference before? Go to the Message Bible and Google it, and it's right there. It's found in the Lord's Prayer. How demonic is that? Back to the show.
Those who are being inspired by Apollo to bring him forth are synchronizing every kind of work to resonate and harmonize with a focus on the boundary of time-space until the desired result is attained. Symmetry, the bridging of time-space, control over time-space domains. I want to make an observation before playing the clip from The Penitent Man. The CERN LHC facility is literally a temple devoted to the ancient gods, and it's a set for much of the Symmetry film. It's located adjacent to what's claimed to be the number one most occult city in the world, Geneva, Switzerland. The Penitent Man was filmed adjacent to the number two most occult city in the world, which is Vancouver, BC. It was filmed in Seattle, and most of the scenes were shot inside a Masonic facility, the Society of the Illuminated Brotherhood, known for their temples. In this clip from The Penitent Man, you're about to see the context of the cryptic demonstration of a particle beam collision. The younger man is pressing the older man, Mr. Darnell, for technical detail about how he traveled there from the future. You'll hear Mr. Darnell say, "You need a machine to sustain a wormhole, of course." "What kind of machine do you suppose they're talking about?" Listen closely to their conversation and pay attention to all the props on the set.
"But I did it. I actually did it, Doctor. See, viewing was only the beginning. But like a rudimentary computer, it only took time and development before a new model was born. You harness a wormhole, speed up one end, and slow down the other end.
Go on.
I can't.
Mr. Darnell, you realize...
Please, I can't. Let's leave it at this.
How does it work?
You have to understand, if I answer that question, I could rip a hole through everything as we know it.
But that's why you're here, isn't it? To change the past, so you're gonna have to give me something.
Dr. Pyatt, I was under the impression it was never a good idea to force a patient to divulge anything they weren't comfortable with.
I can't keep doing this.
All right. I know this must be frustrating. I can't give you everything. It just wouldn't be safe.
I'm listening.
You say you like science?
I do.
To go back and read the concepts presented by Hawking, Einstein, Lewis, light speed, black holes, wormholes. They were so close. There was just one small piece missing. I'm sure you're aware or somewhat familiar with the concept of wormholes.
Sure, yeah, they're fascinating to wonder about.
If you don't mind, could you tell me what you know?
They're a consequence of Einstein's theory of general relativity. A wormhole, in theory, would act as a shortcut or a passageway through space and time.
The physics are even simpler than your definition. A wormhole creates a tunnel, effectively cutting through two locations in space-time.
Yeah, therefore eliminating the need for three-dimensional travel through space. No more rocket ships. I like Stargate, too.
Oh, wow, Stargate. It's been a long time since I've seen that movie. Who is that guy? He was really good in that old Western.
Kurt Russell,
he was good, wasn't he?
Listen, nothing you're telling me is new information, right? The theories about wormholes have existed for a long time, but nobody knows if they actually exist or how to find them.
But I do. They're everywhere. Just a matter of seeing them or harnessing them.
But you haven't explained either. How do you see them? How do you harness them? A machine, some sort of gateway?
Of course you need a machine to sustain a wormhole. But this is where I stop. I have given you the gun. Let me keep the bullets.
Please continue.
I found a way to go back. I was alone, but I found it. My old partner was the only one that knew, but for now, it'll stay that way. The only question is, can the ripples I create be enough to change the future? Or create an alternate one?
Ripples?
Think of the water in that glass as time. Time moves forward constantly, untouched, as still as the water. Go back and try to change something, and it creates a ripple effect. Change has to catch up with time. And everything around it either changes or suffers.
If you've ever been exposed to soap operas, the music in the soundtrack should evoke memories of a long-running show.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of our lives.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of our lives. That's the kind of subtlety being leveraged by the filmmaker. Darnell, the time traveler and inventor of time travel who destroyed the future, says, "Think of the water in that glass as time. Time moves forward constantly. Untouched, it's as still as the water. Go back and try to change something, bang, and it creates a ripple effect." Read between the lines. Particle collision pictured creates a ripple effect in time, a time impact event. Who is trying to go back or forward to try to change an outcome? Darnell is. That's why he's there meeting with Dr. Pyatt and speaking so persuasively. Darnell himself is playing the role of the destroyer of worlds, the dancing Lord Shiva. Under the lamp, we see an idol of Shiva doing the cosmic dance of destruction, a miniature of the one featured at the CERN facility. There's a horned mask on the wall that represents the horned god Cernunnos, the god of the abyss, who is continually being invoked in ceremonies where magic circles are cast with salt, just like in the Symmetry film. Yes, Cernunnos, C-E-R-N-U-N-N-O-S. Also, Nodens, Abaddon, Apollyon the Destroyer. It's a clever set. The table lamp paints light on the wall in the shape of an hourglass, hinting of a measure of the sands of time. Under the lamp, you'll find a pitcher of water, a reservoir as drawn from the River of Time. Mr. Darnell's pocket watch rests on the coffee table with his time water glass, with the hinged case being a model of folded time space. The box of tissues on the table is a cube. Think of the cube in the Marvel Comic Universe, which has to do with a multi-dimensional binding and the control of vast time-space energies. Again, what kind of machine are they talking about in the clip? Did you see the picture on the wall that artfully illustrates the particle collisions? Darnell mentioned small pieces, like subatomic particles. He mentioned a gun and bullets, and the collider fires protons like bullets from a machine gun. Did you notice the picture of the full moon next to the one of the particle collisions? That's a celestial timekeeper, the one that rules the night according to the foundational cosmological text of Genesis chapter 1. It's appointed for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and to give light on the earth, which is a matter of the revelation of supernatural insight and the Hebrew Moedim, the prophetic schedule of holy days. The moon silently affects the tides of the seas on earth in endless cycles. With that influence due to the interaction of gravity relative to mass, and with the water and the sea as a metaphor for time, that's a potent symbol in the context of the particle collider, with its vast array of enormously powerful ring magnets arrayed in a giant ring. Sonic energy is also used to accelerate the particles, so the LHC literally sings as the particles dance. Symmetry's opera and dance. When Darnell bangs the coffee table and we see the imagery of the particle beam collision so clearly illustrated, is there any doubt about what time machine they're talking about? With all the clues, do they really need to say it? Need more evidence? Darnell doesn't actually hit the coffee table with his fist, not directly. He hits a book that sits on the table, which is wrapped around with two rubber bands, one red and one green. The red band represents a stream of particles traveling around the LHC, and the green band is the opposing stream. The crossing of the bands represents the crossing of the streams where the collisions occur. He strikes the rubber bands at their crossing. Bang! What's in Darnell's little black book? Notes on particle physics, time-space manipulation, and time travel? Are the bands made of rubber because time is flexible and in flux, able to contract and expand? Is there a redshift of the beams relative to one another, where he's slowing down one and speeding up the other, which Darnell had already claimed was a general principle involved with harnessing a wormhole? There's another aspect of the rubber band-bound book that should be mentioned. The two men are actually the same man who traveled back in time on a mission to convince himself not to make the mistake of building the device that would destroy the world in 50 years' time. The rubber bands represent the life of the man, where there are two at once, at the crossing of the future with the past in the present. The black book would represent a kind of journal or book of life. I'm going to replay the key collision segment from the Symmetry promo. Again, pay attention to the time marker.
Here in the background of the movie Symmetry, I encourage you to go see the movie Symmetry. I'm Pastor Evangelist Johnny O, and this was about CERN, C-E-R-N. God bless you. Thank you for supporting Revival with your donations. Use PayPal. I'll talk to you soon as we end the show.
Based upon years of study, we should expect the Antichrist Beast to manifest on the 13th day of the first month on the Lord's calendar. By the 21st day of the month, the season of primary impact is expected to end. The control of time is going to be granted to the adversary for a season called Megaslipsis in the Greek, Great Tribulation. Things should get real interesting, perhaps a day in advance.